Kitty.
To place a call, thank you for using AT&T.
Good morning, Free America. May I help you?
Good morning. Is it possible to speak with Mr. Douglas?
You calling in regards to our guest?
Oh, I didn't know you had a guest. I'm sorry, I'm not listening this morning.
Oh, okay. No, we're on the air right now.
Oh, okay. Well, my apologies.
Okay.
Thank you. About freedom of speech. Welcome to Radio Freak America 7. I'm Dual Parallel. I'm joined in studio by Mary Chan. Say hello, Mary Chan.
Hello.
Wait. Say it again.
Hi.
Oh, that was much more sexy. And I'm also joined on the phone by Rax and Condor. What's up, guys?
Hi.
That was so sexy, Rax. Condor, are you watching the screensavers?
Yeah, huh?
I kind of like that. It's kind of, you know, it's more natural. You're more relaxed.
I can't pay attention to Leo Laporte and you at the same time.
Yeah, you're
to get my priorities straight.
You're a groupie for Leo Laporte.
Leo Laporte's great. By the way, Leo Laporte rocks. He signed my 2600 magazine. He signed it to Dual Parallel. Hack on, Leo Laporte. That's great. Now, yeah. What was your reaction when he signed that, Condor?
He said by himself. He's like, oh, 2600 hacker quarterly. he actually did Hack On by himself. He just put it on.
He's the best. Now, is it a toupee or is it real?
It's real.
It's real. No way. I know it's real. Now, for all our listeners, that short, strange segment at the beginning, I called in to basically. Let me preface all this first of all. I like freedom of speech. Everybody does. Freedom of speech is not prohibited yet. 9/11 affected a lot of things. Since then, I've been searching for things that push the envelope. Of course, 2600 does. Most hacker sites do, because you know, it's information that can be used for bad. But I've also been looking for political and other sources of information that do push the envelope, especially after 9/11. One of the things I found, actually, in a big mainstream bookstore, was a magazine called The Free American, and it's basically a right-wing, although they spend the whole magazine denying it, it's basically a right-wing militant publication. They defend themselves from being anti-Semitic. They go on and on about conspiracies and the New World Order and world government. And believe me, I don't subscribe to any of that, but I do appreciate that it exists. And not to mention, it's pretty darn weird, and I enjoy strange, wacky, zany stuff. So, they have a radio show every weekday morning at 6, no, I don't remember, 5 p.m. Pacific, I think. And I went ahead and called up their 800 number, and that's what you just heard. Apparently, I was hoping to talk to Clay Douglas, I think was his name. Mr. Douglas, who runs the show, but I didn't. I wanted to ask him why, if you're not anti-Semitic, why are you spending the whole magazine defending your... but I didn't get to. I plan to call back again. I didn't want to push it this time because I am going to be calling back. That's what that's about. And you'll see, you'll find some crazy links, some weird stuff on oldschoolfreak.com. And by no means do I agree with everything. By no means am I a right-wing militant. I just appreciate different views. I appreciate that people can put their different views out there and get watched by the FBI as much as they want, because I guarantee you they are. You know, I'm sure all of you realize that, especially, you know, Timothy McVeigh was the last, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing was the last big one before 9/11. And actually, right-wing militant domestic terrorists were probably the number one threat on the Fed's list. Now, of course, it's foreign nationals here on our soil, but I guarantee you that they're still being watched. So go to the site, check out, just go find the wackiest stuff. Go to Tower Records, find the wackiest underground magazine you can. Subscribe to anything you can. Hey, do you guys, either of you remember the name of that magazine that Meme had that was like really alternative, you know, down on the corporate America? Do you remember that? Was it Adbusters or something like that? What?
Busters.
It was?
Adbusters.
Adbusters. I want to get that. That was great. It was art and it was bagging on big corporate America. So please, keep reading 2600. Find that wacky stuff. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to subscribe to it. You don't have to act upon it. Please, actually, don't act upon a lot of these things. But definitely, keep speech free. Now, you actually had something, Rax. Let me look here at my notes. The DOJ was readjusting the Patriot Act. Does that mean that they're gonna let hackers off scot-free now?
Well, yeah, right. And then, you know, what other kind of dreams do you have?
Yeah, well, quite a few, actually.
Trying to find the link here now. Can't find it at the moment, but I'll dig it up at some point. Anyway, it goes in talking about the chief dude that's in charge of this stuff now. And it actually sounds like it's like, oh, yeah, cool. He was a programmer. He worked for WordPerfect. He programmed in C. He did the thesaurus for WordPerfect and everything else. I mean, so he's not your typical Beltway bureaucrat. And he's in charge of all this stuff now. And they're saying, well, you know, it's too... You know, it's too out there and whatever else on that, you know, when it comes to computer stuff. But Jennifer Granick, who is a lawyer, you know, actually one of the good kind of lawyers, in the sense that, you know, instead of being an ambulance chaser and out there, you know, for all the money and everything else, she defends hackers. And she's spoken at DEF CON and various places and that. I mean, she was on the legal team for Dimitri and everything else and that. And she's saying, yeah, right, she really trusts them. What she's afraid is going to happen is they're going to keep the current laws, which I guess the maximum penalty is 10 years in federal prison and because it's a felony. And she said she's afraid they're going to keep that for people who do, like, web page defacement and then add on all this extra stuff for, like, the serious... you know, cyber criminals that steal credit cards and, you know, do all kinds of nasty stuff that way and make that like a 20-year sentence. So in as much as it's like, oh, cool, you know, something may be happening here, they realize that, you know, they're just a little bit heavy-handed, and Granick is saying, don't depend on that.
That's wolf in sheep's clothing. They say they're going to readjust, and it's just going to make it worse for the other crimes other than web defacements. Now, what's worse? Defacing a web page or, you know, tagging a wall. What's worse? What's easier to fix? You know, I really believe it's big company, it's big money in the politicians' pockets, making sure that their computers are safe because they can't secure them themselves. And what do you have to do? You've got to, you know, I bet you anything, three quarters, probably more, of the web defacements, those hackers, if you want to call them hackers, save the index.html as index.back, and that's all they have to do. I bet you know what? Half the defacements I've read, they actually tell that to the admins. They say, hey, your original file is index.back. I mean, they might as well just, you know, have a timer on it and it fixes it itself. It's absurd.
Don't fall into the same trap that the media does in calling people hackers when, you know, those
that
are doing that are crackers that are breaking in. I mean, you know, we're making that subtle distinction to the you know, the great unwashed out there, the rest of, you know, America. They don't see any difference. But I mean, you know, shame on us if we're painting everybody with the same paintbrush that the big media uses.
Hey, and that's why I said if you want to call them that, because I, you know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't know. I think some web defacements, I think it's like, it's a joke, it's a prank, you know, big deal. Fix it, you know, put that index.html back, you know, rename that index. .back file. Some of it is political speech. Some of it, I think, is hacktivism. And some of it maybe is a malicious act. Maybe some of it is crime. But it definitely doesn't warrant a 10-year sentence. A decade in jail for that. You would get less if you beat a man bloody and left him unconscious. Not that I've ever done that. Next. What was that other? Oh, that article. Actually, Rax, I want you and Mary Chan to talk about this. I haven't read the whole thing, but I saw it on Slashdot. I think you sent the link to me. It's about what the net will be like in 2004. And right now, off the top of my head, imagining things, I think it'll be scary. I think everything will be regulated. I think every CD, like the new... What's her name? Celine Dion, is that correct? Yeah, her CD will now crash the computer if you try to play it in there. I think everything is going to be horribly regulated. You're going to have to pay. Everybody who runs the internet is going to nickel and dime you to death for everything you want to see, look, download, and play with. Now, you read the article, Rax. What did you think?
Yeah, actually, and what I'd like to do is take a minute here. I want to read it for the listeners. It's on the Daily Aardvark, aardvark.co.nz. It's from New Zealand. It's called Life on the Net in 2004. Here's how it goes. It says, it's 6:30 a.m. someday in 2004. The alarm goes off, and you rise from bed to face the day's challenges. After a quick shower and breakfast, you wander over to your PC and check to see if any email has arrived overnight. 231 new emails, but your filter says that 217 of those are likely to be spam. Even though they've been dropped into another folder, you still have to wade through them to make sure you didn't miss an important message that might have accidentally been sidetracked by less than perfect software. Damn, looks like you've also received 5 new virus and Trojans attachments, and one of them was 20 megabytes in size. That's another $4 on your DSL bill. Suddenly, a pop-up dialog box appears advising you that there are 2 new Windows security updates that should be downloaded, totaling some 60 megabytes in size, another $12 worth of traffic. You just know that downloading these updates will require you to reboot your computer, and you're in a hurry, so you hit the cancel button and fire up your web browser to check the latest news headlines. Within seconds, the PC desktop comes alive with pop-up, flashing, animated advertising banners, but you're used to those highly intrusive advertisements by now. Another dialog box pops up, this time warning you that the license for your copy of Windows XP 2004 is due to expire in 10 days. It reminds you that that should you fail to renew your license, another $199, then your PC may no longer boot. Fond memories of days when their alternative to Microsoft OS has passed through your mind, but that was before the government realized that software was like petrol, gasoline, a totally essential commodity in the lives of most business and individuals. Legislation was passed in 2003 that required all software developers and vendors to be licensed and a 45% tax added to all sales. Of course, much to Microsoft's glee, this killed the open source movement, since being an unlicensed software supplier risks a stiff fine or even jail term, and those licenses are incredibly expensive. You type in CNN.com and then enter the ID and password associated with your monthly subscription. Remember when there were hundreds of sites offering the latest news for free? Not anymore. Sure, there are still a few, but they're regularly hit with lawsuits by the big names who allege breach of copyright. Although such suits are inevitably dismissed, the cost of defending them means that most independent news sites usually last only a few months at most. Flicking the remote beside you kicks your digital music player into action, and you marvel that 95% of its computing power is dedicated to sophisticated digital rights management system it contains. Following an unsuccessful attempt to copy protect CDs, the recording industry forced everyone to a new mini CD format that has yet to be cracked, although there are rumors that some Russians have succeeded. You can't just buy music on CDs anymore, and the old CDRW media now costs $9 a disc. $10 a disc, thanks to the $9 anti-piracy levy that was introduced in 2003. Another warning appears. Your license for this recording has expired, unable to play. Damn, another $49 if you want to listen to music for another year. You wonder if, as they claim, these new measures significantly reduce piracy, why is music so much more expensive now? You type up a quick email to a friend inviting them to meet you for lunch. Of course, you're careful not to use the words bomb and aeroplane in the same message for fear of attracting attention of the new anti-terrorism police. After all, every single bit that enters and leaves your PC is now scanned by the authorities, under the premise that it's in the interest of national or international security and crime reduction. It's funny how they can supposedly detect an even unfriendly tone in an email, but they can't or won't stop the endless tide of spam. Suddenly, your PC screen clears, and the image of a naked woman in a seductive pose appears. Oh no, more porno hacks. Maybe you should have downloaded those latest security patches after all. For a moment, a smile crosses your face. You're thinking of the good old days when the internet was much simpler, safer, and saner and safer place. Then you return to reality with the realization that it's 7:05 a.m. and you've just spent $264. Scary stuff. What makes it so scary is it's so close to being happening out there, folks.
It's coming. We see it all the time. Rax, thank you so much for reading that. That was essential for the listeners. And listeners, please send your $5 if you want to listen to that each time.
Next time, we'll sit around a campfire and we'll tell more of those stories.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It'll be like history.
You know,
back in my day, you could adapt in, you would get your Hotmail, and you only had like 5 spams. Only 5.
Well, Grandpa, really?
Yep. Wow. Also, you didn't have to be afraid about typing bomb in a Hotmail address and in fear of the government breaking down your door and taking away the PC. Wow.
That's so true. It's going to be ancient history when we can be free like we are today. Now, where was this article again?
The Daily Aardvark, aardvark.co.nz.
Okay, now we've read actually quite a few of these proposals on Slashdot. I remember reading the CDRW tax, everything. I mean, you know, face it, Clear Channel would like to charge you, you know, money every time you listen to a song. The internet is now the next big thing. It's going to be regulated, taxed. Everything's going to be restricted. What can we do? I mean, I already vowed that if all of the internet radio, is it taxes? Are they taxes that people are going to have to pay? Oh no, the royalties, right? Is that correct?
The royalties,
right? If
and license fees, probably.
Yeah, if that goes through, I will buy a computer. I will go into debt. I will buy a computer and I will start playing. I don't care if it's a stream that one person listens to. I'm going to start playing all the music I can, and I'm not going to pay a dime to anybody. If all of these things become true, I'm going to use more encryption. I'm going to start. You know what? I'm going to please anybody, every listener, take this show just like the Sean Kennedy Show on Rant Radio. Take this show, do whatever you want with it. I don't care what you do with it. Give it to everybody you know. Like they say on the Rant Radio, burn it on AOL CDs and put it in people's mailboxes. Make dance mixes. Play it over your school PA system. I don't care. It's yours. It's free. Information should be free. I want everybody to know what I know. I want to learn from them. And this frightening story that Rax read to us should be a wake-up call to everybody. Because you know what? You see hints of it every day. DMCA, Dimitri, I can name 100 things.
And boycott the 50-cent soda.
Yeah, that's the start of it.
That's the worst. That's the end of the world.
Civilization as we know it.
That's right. Armageddon, man. Bring on the asteroids. That is it. Now, I want to tell the listeners, all right, now, lighter stuff. Okay, everybody relax, loosen up. Kay. You know what? I got to say, screw coffee, man. Diet soda rocks.
Oh, man, you are doing so bad to your body doing that stuff.
What are you talking about? Diet soda's good for you.
It has sodium in it.
Whatever. So that's like salt. Diet soda, who needs Jolt, man? Diet soda does everything I need, baby.
You know what I miss?
Yummy.
Third camp. Like when I was in, what was I? Long time ago. And I don't think they have Surge anymore. I think that was a one-shot thing.
Do you know she has a lot of soda rants? Okay, go ahead.
I was just missing. I'm doing all the old sodas. Surge, Squirt, Crystal Pepsi. Never mind Crystal Pepsi.
That's a...
Remember that.
Do you remember that?
Was it New Pepsi or New Coke, the clear one? And
right.
But I got you all beat. If you really want something to give you energy, drink a 180. Those are awesome.
Oh, now is that like liquid ephedrine?
Yeah.
That'll make me shake.
Well, if you have too many of them, I mean, like two within a half an hour is too many for me, but they're great. They're 180 that your convenience stores carry them. It tastes a whole lot better than Red Bull. They're little 8-ounce cans.
Red Bull is horrific.
Oh, it's terrible, but the 180 is great.
Good for your all-night hacking sessions.
Yeah.
And or freaking. Hey. Now, I'm not going to say it. Now, okay, on to the lighter stuff. GameWorks. I think the riddle is solved, and it actually didn't take some hacking. It just took some little investigation. My theory was incorrect. I believe Rax's theory was correct, and we're going to talk about that now. Actually, do you remember the first theory, Condor?
Yes, it was both of us combined. We combined it together into form that these things were actually encoded, permanently encoded with one ID. like 463978.
An address, basically.
Okay, now, back up a step, though, too, guys. Remember, for those people who may not have gone to GameWorks, when you go there, rather than putting quarters or tokens in the machines,
right.
You get a little card with a teeny tiny mag stripe, a thin mag stripe on the back. So when you pay X number of dollars to get that, and it's like kind of like a debit card, and every time you put it in the machine, it decreases the amount of money somehow. Somewhere they're keeping track of that. So you can use the card later.
Right, and all over the place there's RJ11 jacks, usually quads, in the walls. Games are hooked up to them, and you'll see cable trays, basically bus ducts in the ceilings, and you'll see tons of Cat 5 and probably 4, 6, 8 pair, I don't know, bunches of cable all over the place. So, and our theory was, from this, Condor, continue.
We thought they would send the account data, it would do a query for the account data, what's ever on the account. There's a server that held all this stuff, like a database, and it would just subtract and add and stuff like that, which would be very vulnerable.
That's right. We basically thought that all they wrote to the card, this one track of magnetic data on this little GameWorks card you get when you give them money, was an address. And then they associated that address with an amount of money that you give them in some server in the back, and every time you put it in a machine, it read the address, deducted the amount of the game on the server, and never actually wrote anything to the card. But what we found out is that it's not true. They actually do read and write the amount of cash you have on the card, on the one track. Here's how it works. They actually have a system from a company called Intercard, and their website is intercardinc.com. And you give them the money, they write the amount of money on the card, and each game actually takes care of itself and the card. You put the card in with your $20, it's a dollar game, it subtracts $1 from the card and writes the new amount, $19, to it. So our theories, Condor and I, were incorrect. So then, why do they need all those cables? Why do they need all those jacks? Why do the games all have to be connected to the server in the back, which, from what we've heard, is like a P2? They actually use those cables for pulling the machines, sales data, usage data. Basically, it's like marketing. They want to see what people are playing, how much they're playing, and how much they've made, basically, in the night. That's what all the cables, that's what the network is for. So it's pretty straightforward. Head to intercardinc.com, and you can read all about it. They've got a couple of downloads, a couple of PowerPoint presentations. You can learn about it. I'd still like to hook up. I've hooked up a beige box to these RJ11 ports. Nothing happens.
I'd still like to find out sniff the network a little bit.
Yeah, I would love to sniff it. I'd like to see what kind of traffic goes across.
Did you give your card to Slippin' Away? Wasn't he going to try to read the stripe on there?
Yeah, he's got one. I don't know how he's going to read it. He must have a reader or somebody he knows does. He can that one little track is right down the middle of the card, so you'd have to cut off part of the card and then read it. I'd like to buy card reader, actually. I found a few at Electronic Surplus, but they're really expensive.
$2,600 in the back, there's advertisements for them. They even have portable ones.
Yeah, that's what I'd really like, something really portable and hook right up to a serial port on my 286 laptop, baby, so I can read cards anytime. So that's the game. The GameWorks riddle is fixed. The next one is the slingshot. Rax has sniffed a little traffic, but nothing yet, so we'll get back to you listeners as soon as we learn all about it.
Abdul, didn't you say you found something kind of like a slingshot that's platform independent?
Yeah, I did, and darn it, I can't remember it. It was something gold.
Yeah,
and
I think I have it here. But for those people who may be just tuning in for the first time, slingshot is a cool, it's an ISP, but rather than paying a monthly fee and giving them a credit card, and your bank account number and your shoe size and all this other kind of marketing data, you go to, I think they even had like Circle K's had it, but you go to office supply stores, computer stores.
Fries.
And yeah, Fries, our sponsor. you go there and you buy this, and it's prepaid internet access. It's like 2 cents a minute. You get the original CD you get is like $10, has 600 minutes on it. You install their little dialer program, and Windows only right now, and you dial it, have it dial up. Oh, there goes my phone. And
which woman is that?
Gotta let that go. Anyway, you have it dial up, and it keeps track of how many minutes you have. when you need to get buy more time, you buy another little card. Basically, all the card has is another code number. You go online, you activate that code number, and it keeps counting down. So it's a really cool way because, again, you're completely anonymous. They do not know, and they can see where you're going and all that other kind of stuff, obviously, but they do not have your credit card. They do not have your address. They have nothing on you. And if it's a great way just for traveling, you know, rather than having, like, you know, AOL or Earthlink or any of the other ISPs where you're paying, you know, $10 a month whether you're using it or not, this you pay as you go. 2 cents a minute works out pretty well. I've had, you know, some pretty good response time with it and everything else. That's the nutshell. That's okay, now, Duel, why don't you pick up any other way? I try to find the name of this thing.
Okay, I believe it was something gold, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what it was, but they are platform independent. They even stated on their website that it works with Linux. That should make you happy, Condor. Right. Condor's Linux segment coming up shortly. And it was pretty inexpensive. I think it was only 1-800 numbers. Don't quote me on all this. And it seemed like a really good deal. They didn't seem quite as polished, quite as big as Slingshot, but just the fact that it was platform independent right out of the box was nice.
I got it. Goldcom.cc.
I knew it. Goldcom.cc. Check it out. We're going to try to get Slingshot to work with Linux. I think we can. Actually, we haven't had the time, to be honest with you. We will definitely get it, and as soon as we learn if we can or can't, we'll let you listeners know. Check out, was it Goldcom?
Goldcom.cc.
.cc, one of those weird domain names. How much is it? Does it say?
Okay, keep talking, and I'll...
Oh, okay, you're surfing it right now? Yeah, you can tell. It doesn't look like it's the... It's not big and polished like Slingshot. Now, when you buy a Slingshot CD, pay cash. You want to be anonymous? Make sure you're totally anonymous. Pay cash. Actually, I'm planning to write an article, Anonymous Web Access, Internet Access, and Slingshot is one of them. Keep looking at the site, text files portion of oldschoolfreak.com for this new article. I think I'm going to write that one. I might do a basic one about, and I know it's been written to death, about securing Linux. Maybe I'll do some actually specific. My favorite distribution, SUSE. Maybe I'll write one on securing a default SUSE install. Maybe I'll do, like a few. By the way, I just installed a command line only SUSE 7.1 on my brand new Pentium 90 last night. Oh, yeah.
Brand old, man.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
That's, you're talking 96.
Not that new?
Man, you're gonna ruin your reputation.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm thinking more and more about buying a new powerful computer. It's scaring me.
Dude, AMD.
What's that? AMD? Oh, definitely. Of course, I'll go AMD.
And next time you're in town, you know, we'll take the trip down to Fry's again and hook you up.
Yeah, I think I might do that. Now, did you get the price, by the way?
I can't seem to see it here.
I don't even think they say. I think you have to, like, call or something or bust out your credit card before they even talk prices. Now, Condor, I mentioned Condor's Linux segment. I know you love Linux.
Hey.
And I'm thinking on a regular basis you can either talk about Linux or maybe a hardware review or a book review, some knowledge you want to impart upon the listeners, whether it be, newbie kind of knowledge or something experienced like a Debian user like yourself. How about today? You got something to talk about?
Oh, sure. Debian revision 6, R6, 2.2, potato R6, whatever you want to call it. It was released on the 2nd, I think. And go to Debian.org, Debian.org. For more info, it's on their front. It's on their first page. And basically, it's just another smaller version of Linux, of Debian Linux, and from what I learned from Rax, it's Witty, which is the next
Debian 3.0, basically,
of Debian, is going to be released on May, is it?
May 1st, they're saying, yeah.
May 1st.
Well, I bet you can't wait. Now, what are you running, Condor, at home?
Nothing right now. Literally nothing. It's,
I thought you were running Debian freaking, Leonardo or whatever, one of those Ninja Turtle names they use for code names.
Potato.
Oh, Potato, right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Toy Story, sorry.
Toy Story, man, get it straight.
Sorry, Ninja Turtle, whatever.
Get it right.
You like, wait, Mary Chan likes Ninja Turtle. Tell us why.
Because they're Ninja Turtles.
Oh, you can't beat Ninja Turtles. So you're running Potato R5, and R6 is out, just came out, is that what you said?
I'm running R3 right now, I haven't gone up in a while, so.
What's the default desktop for Debian?
It really doesn't have a default, but I guess you would, it's probably Window Manager.
Can you do which one does it install, GNOME or KDE? Or do you get a choice?
You have a choice.
It runs X with Window Manager. That's your default, right?
It runs, I think so. It's a Window Maker or something like that.
WM. Yeah.
I haven't run X in a long time.
Now, this is...
doesn't have KDE. I only have... Woody has KDE, so that's why I'm kind of excited.
KDE 3?
KDE...
The new one?
Well, 2, I think. Like 2.
2.2.2.2.1, whatever it is.
2.
Yeah, because I know, like, SUSE defaults KDE, which I love. Red Hat GNOME, which I don't love.
Red Hat, you can do either. Matter of fact, on
Of course, you can do either with SUSE, too. I'm just talking, usually they have a default install. And for Red Hat, it's GNOME, and I don't like that at all.
But on the virtual, you know, we talked about before, the virtual PC, and I've got Red Hat on my laptop, and you can have it based on the user. You can either have KDE or GNOME for the desktop, so whichever
sure.
they prefers. When you log in, that's your desktop.
Right.
No, get used to it. People like Red Hat, all right? You know?
Okay, fine. Fine. Actually, I got it working. I got it working on the... I put 7.2, which is a little slow, on a Pentium Pro 200. And I got it to work. I'll admit it. First time ever. And yeah, people like it. I guess it's okay, sort of.
Yeah, but all you little penguin people are cute with all your little distros.
I know. You know what? I shouldn't. We shouldn't be like that. Linux is Linux. It's a beautiful thing, no matter what it is. It's a revolution.
What is it?
And people have tastes.
Not a beautiful thing.
It's not.
BSD.
That's right. You're a Mac user.
No, BSD, man, all the way.
I'll admit, I've never used BSD. I'll admit it.
It was great.
I should
have picked one
to work.
What's that?
I've never gotten BSD to work.
Yeah, well. What can you say?
Keep trying.
It doesn't even see my hard drive. And then FreeBSD, I like panicked and would not install.
Well, all your other stuff was panicking. You talked about that before too. But
oh, yeah, like Debian. After I found out what the problem was, don't move your drives around.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have to move it exactly to the same way you had it. And if you're forgetful like I am, I forgot which way I had it, so I had to reinstall it.
Oh, free Linux tip for the listeners.
And then, I found out today, if you ever get a kernel panic on Debian at 3.01, I think it is, that means it cannot access the hard drive. And you kind of need to reinstall it.
Are you going to?
There's problems with everything, Rax.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. But I'm saying, you know, all the little penguin people are really kind of cute.
Well, thank you, Mr. BSD, with your VMware and your XP and your... Man, you got a nice setup, Rax. I love that SGI monitor.
Oh, that's an awesome... Yeah, it's like VBS is cool. Dad, you like the Arian chair, too?
I do. It's nice. My butt sweats so much in my leather chair.
Too much information.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I also want to talk...
It's graphic images.
You know you like my butt. I want to talk about Rax's Aibo. Actually, I want Rax to talk about your Aibo because that was the coolest freaking thing ever. That was so... I can't believe... I like to think I'm a grown man. I was so enthralled.
Like to think you're a grown man?
I like to think so. I like to think I'm relatively mature. That's, of course, debatable. But I was so enthralled by the Aibo. I was surprised.
Well, we brought it down to the 2600 meeting. I wanted to bring it out last month, but the Wi-Fi, the 802.11b wireless, is really touchy, so I didn't pull it out. But Aibo is great. I've got a 210, which is a second generation Aibo. It's an autonomous robot, and Aibo is actually, I guess, a play on the Japanese word for companion or friend,
like
but
buddy, yeah.
Also AI, like artificial intelligence, and Bo for robot. It is an autonomous robot made by Sony. It's in the guise of a dog, and it has like 20 different sensors, and I forget how many motors, and all these kinds of range of motion. But it has a 200 megahertz MIPS processor. It has its own operating system called OpenR. It has a CCD camera in its nose. It has an infrared sensor for proximity detection. It has sensors on the top of its head and the back of its head, and on all four paws. And you can do lots of different things with it. There's software. It's obviously, since it's Sony, it uses a Sony memory stick, which is expensive as heck. But you can have it in its autonomous mode, And it's kind of like a dog. It wakes up, you know, and it wants to play, and it has its programmed to go after hot pink things like ball. It has a little ball that's hot pink. And if it falls over, you know, it plays with the ball, it headbutts it, it kicks it. If it falls over, it can stand itself back up again. It can respond to 50 voice commands, and it's not just one person's voice, it's anyone's voice who speaks the commands.
Doesn't it have a guard mode?
Yeah, with the Explorer software, I think it's guard mode. You can go into guard mode, and like, you know, it looks around with the CCD camera, and if it sees anything, it takes a picture of it. It can take pictures, obviously, as well. The other thing that's cool. Now, the dog itself is actually come down a little bit in price. It's about $1,300 now.
Oh, good, really affordable.
Yeah. Extra batteries are like $90 a piece. The charging station's $140. I mean, it's not a cheap hobby. Anyway, then I got they have an 802.11b wireless card for it. That was like $200. And the software to use on your laptop or desktop is like about another $150. But what's cool with it is whatever it's looking at with the camera, you can see. You can make it walk around. You can, you know, change where its direction, where it's going. You can, the robot, the iBo, has a speaker and microphones. So you can turn on the microphones, and whatever it's hearing, you can hear. All this is being sent to you wirelessly. Whatever it's looking at, you're seeing. You can control its movements and actions and all that. And it is just way cool. It is a cool, cool toy.
It was. It was so awesome. And it worked really well. The sound, the pictures, everything came out clear over 802.11 on your laptop. What now? And you had a compact laptop, and you said the 802.11 was really proprietary. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. For what they want to do, what they quote Sony only supports, and I actually had to break down and call their technical support to get it going, but actually ended up picking up a Lucent card, or actually a Sony branded card, which is a Lucent chipset for the wireless. But it's very, very touchy. You have to go in and edit a text file on the memory stick. To set whether you want to use WEP, Wireless Equivalency Protocol, whether you want to use that or not, what channel you're going to use, whether you're going to be in infrastructure or ad hoc mode, if set the SSID for the wireless, and then you have to set all the type of thing either on your desktop or your laptop. And it's just really, really touchy making sure you've got all those little details set. But when it works, it's great. It's awesome.
It did. It worked really well.
In fact, Dual, I don't know if I told you guys, but I picked up, just for comparison's sake, I picked up an iCybe off of eBay, which is the Tiger Toy Company clone kind of thing of the iBo. It's a little toy dog. It can move, it can everything else, but it doesn't have its own brain, doesn't have its own sensors.
Right.
All that, but it's just kind of a fun toy. So I guess I just bought a toy dog for my robot dog.
I was going to say, poor man's iBo.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, think about it, you know, that Goofy, right, in Disney characters, Goofy was a dog. And what did he have for a pet?
A dog.
But isn't that like slavery?
That is. That's close to cannibalism. That is so scary. Disney, another one of those big evil corporate empires.
Disney was nice, huh?
Yeah. Now, we also did a little peer-to-peer 802.11 at the meeting. That was fun. Checked out a lot of cool graphics from Meme and Slipping Away. They're very talented. I think that's definitely hacking within itself. I can't imagine. I tell you what, you want to make money, you make pretty pictures and stuff move.
There's a couple of new people showed up, too, at the meeting.
Yeah, new people. Shout out to Zapperlink, and I don't remember the other ones. I'm sorry. But they're smart people, damn it. Way smarter than me. That's not hard, though. Okay, Mary Challenge. You know what? I think this is a perfect time, perfect opportunity. You know, maybe we should have another segment, Condor's Linux segment, and also Mary Chan's Rants. Now, you've got, you told me you got a couple things you might talk about, spam or work. It's totally up to you. Here we go. Everybody, old school freak listeners, get ready for Mary Chan's Rant.
There you go.
Not in a good mood.
On the spot, you can't do it. I'm dumb.
Come on,
everybody's
come
smarter
on.
Than me, but we'll put the mic in front of me. Oh, nothing happens. Here, you want to talk about, now, honestly, spam would be much more appropriate to this show, as I'm sure you're aware. You can talk about this little thing that happened to you at work about, you know, but it's, the listeners, we have a pretty pretty select group of listeners, highly intelligent, you know, pretty specific in their interests. What?
Technologically advanced.
That's right, definitely technologically advanced. Okay, here you go.
Well, I suppose what highly amused me about that Life in 2004 article was probably the comment on the spam, because, God, I probably get that much already as it is, and I don't know where it comes from, you know? I mean, I don't give out my email address hardly at all. I fixed that damned thing that Yahoo Groups was doing, bastards. They probably changed it back, though, knowing me. I'm going to check on this evening. They change it back, Oh, I don't know. I like my news group, so I couldn't leave it. And so that just frustrates me. I think my only amusement is whenever I get, you know, quote-unquote, the porn spam. That's always interesting to reading. Good semen. Naughty cheerleaders with baseball bats, you know.
That's enough.
I don't even look at it. I just read the subjects alone are amusing enough.
Yeah.
But you read some of that stuff, though.
No, never, ever. I love freedom of speech. I'm all for porn, but no, I'm clean. I am as pure as the driven snow, gentlemen.
Pure as the driven slush.
Muddy slush. Hey, I want to make a couple of phone calls. Is that cool?
Hey, before you do, I found that article, Sentence Study Probes Hacker Motives. It's on Security Focus.
Hey, save that. Oh, yeah, I think I read about that. That's the one right above Hacker Amnesty, right? Is that correct?
I don't know. I drilled down, finally got into it. But that's talking about Michael Edmund O'Neill, who is... the United Sentencing Commission is in charge of that stuff. So it's
okay.
Reading on securityfocusonline.com.
Send me that link so I can put it on the site for our listeners, because it's Radio Freak America, free knowledge, and we're going to make sure we get the notes with all the pertinent links to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Interactive radio show, baby.
You know, Rex, you haven't received with a lot of phone calls, and also I haven't eaten yet, so I'm getting kind of hungry.
Oh, you're dropping out then?
Yeah.
All right, man.
Besides, Leo Laporte is almost going to go out.
That's right. Catch the last 10 minutes of your boyfriend, Leo.
Bye, Condor.
Oh,
bye.
Did you hear that? All right, later,
you
man.
Good.
Y'all later.
Later.
Bye.
Nice diss, just as he's going off the air. Nice diss.
Who dissed him?
Say goodbye to your boyfriend, Leo.
He almost dissed us for the show before. He's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm good because the screensavers are on. Oh, he's getting brainwashed. Hey, I'm a big fan of Leo.
Hey.
I was in full-on jest. It was more to Condor for almost ditching us for a TV show. And they replay it. Like, they replay all the week's shows on the weekend. That's what I used to do because I couldn't watch them during the week. I would watch them all on the weekend.
Yeah, you could do this way. I do it. Watch... Oh, there's another little rant we could go off on. But anyway, I watch Enterprise on Sunday nights because I'm busy on Wednesday nights.
Trekkie. That's almost... That's right. Mary Chan was a Trekkie, and now she's just an anime geek. So that's okay, I guess.
I'm telling you, T'Pol, she's hot.
Oh, no doubt.
Really
that
hot.
That is the hottest Vulcan I've ever... She... Now, who's hotter, though? Her or Seven of Nine?
No, I don't know. You know, it's you know, there's blondes, there's brunettes. I mean, it's all good.
You know who was hot who no one gave any credit for? Jadzia Dax from Deep Space Nine. I actually thought she was attractive. I don't see anything in Seven of Nine to Paul, and I also think it's the haircut. I think that...
Nation? Oh, man.
I have seen... All right, no, that's the thing. I think it's the hair, all right? Because I've seen them without their makeup, beautiful lace. It's the hair. It totally ruins the look. I see all these fanboys. Oh, she's so hot. Yeah, and that jumpsuit... Oh, but honestly, I think do something about the hair, really.
It's Kira Nerys, the Nana Visitor. She was better looking than.
Yeah, what's her name? Dax? Rax? Yeah, Dax was not hot. You're hot, Rax. Don't worry. You what? Yeah, you did.
I actually. Who else was attracted? There aren't that many hot women on Star Trek. I'm sorry, and Jerry Ryan's a little overrated, in my opinion. Yeah, you can tell me for that, but it's just...
Shell Nichols in the original Star Trek, man. She was hot. That was the first, you know, that was the first interracial kiss on TV, by the way.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah, it was, actually. Lieutenant
Uhura one time, and that was a big, big thing. But actually, people don't really stop to think about it, but they do. The original Star Trek dealt with a lot of issues. There was one, Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler on Batman. They had this one episode where this one, you know, there was this world was fighting, and people who had black, they were half black, half white, and they were the people who were black on one side thought they were better. People who had black on the left hand side of their face thought they were better than people who had black on the right hand side of their face, and it was a whole, you know, issue dealing with, you know, racial equality, and this was in the late 60s, you know, so it's actually, there's a lot of that kind of stuff that really got missed.
Okay, Star Trek was groundbreaking. We all know that. Thank you, Trekkies. No, you're right, and that was. You know, can you believe that stuff like that happens today? I cannot believe that. People,
so actually,
we're talking about the virtues of. We're talking about the virtues of Star Trek here, and I was actually going along with it. Thank you very much for all you freaking Trekkie and anime geeks out there. You're right, Star Trek did have its redeeming qualities, and I was also commenting that I can't believe anything like that happens today, but you know it does, and it's absurd that it does. I want to make some phone calls.
Phone calls.
All right.
Order pizza.
No, we're not. I offered you dinner.
I know, I wasn't hungry. Okay.
Okay. Well, I can make you pizza.
The listeners don't want to hear listen to your domestic squabbles.
Okay, sorry. I would like a pepperoni with breadsticks. Hold on, I'm going to flash. Okay. A free psychic number that I got. It's probably going to charge me $100, but that's okay. Anything for you listeners.
We love you too, Duel.
Thank you for calling. Congratulations. We have decided to upgrade your status, and you have now become one of our platinum callers.
Oh.
Show our appreciation. You can now purchase psychic time for as little as $1.99 per minute.
Ms.
Cleo? That's an incredible 60% savings.
I don't know, but I'm a platinum member.
All you have
Ms. Cleo has a Jamaican accent.
That's right.
1-800-840-8285. That free number to call again is 1-800-840-8285. Only a limited number of people are being offered this incredibly low rate of $1.99 per minute. The number to call again is 1-800-840-8285. We will be expecting your call, and we know you'll have a great reading.
And by the way, we've just charged you $7.99 for listening to this.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm a platinum member. I think that was it. That's the free psychic line? What a rip. Now, I wonder... Hold on, let me get rid of him. Oops, I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Rax, you still there? Rax, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I thought you saw Rax.
Now, I wonder what would happen. I'm assuming I did not get charged that call. It's highly illegal for them to charge for an 800 number call. You have to be...
They have to tell you.
That's right. They have to tell you, we're going to charge you this much. If you press this number, and we'll charge you this much. Or maybe even, I don't know if they can say, we're going to charge you this much unless you hang up. I'm not sure.
They say something like, you know, a charge of $1.99 a minute will commence if you do not hang up this call within the next 10 seconds.
Oh, 10 seconds. That's not long. Now, I think they charge you. You call this other 1-800 number they give you, and then they definitely charge you. So that's a full-on ripoff. It's just a redirection. The next number I'm going to call, what is it? Let's see. That was the pseudo-free psychic. Next, I probably won't write an article about it, but everybody, all the Old School Freak listeners, definitely, Radio Freak America listeners, need to watch all of their private information and what happens to it. Definitely watch out for, basically, identity theft. It's really important, especially in today's day and age. I change my phone numbers, not daily, but I change them a lot. I don't give out my address, my name, definitely not my social security number. I lie a lot. if people say, oh, I have to have this information, you know what? I lie. Like we did at Fry's, I had to have something, to buy a chip I was buying. I was buying an Athlon processor, and they had to have my name and address. Well, I gave a fake name and address. And, they're going to catch you when you go upstairs and they use your card. Well, you know what? They didn't even look. They never noticed that the names on the card and the name on the paperwork didn't match. Lie your ass off. Don't give out information.
Here's the other thing, too. I mean,
what?
You can do things you don't want to do. In most states, you can probably, by default, they use your social security number for your driver's license number. That's a bad thing. That's giving people too much information.
That's right. They did not. They asked me, "Do you want to use that?" And I said, "No way."
I changed mine. One time when I had to renew it, I said, "I want you to issue me a number." Because if you think about it, the other thing is, I don't put my phone number on my check. If they need to, if any place needs it for whatever verification, that's one thing. But if you think about it, they have. When you write a check, they have your address. They have your phone number. If you use your driver's license as your social security number for your driver's license, they have that. They have your bank account address. That's way too much information to give somebody.
No doubt. And not to mention, it's so easy. All anybody needs is a phone number, an address, a name, and that's just the beginning of loads of information. Go to Super Pages, Anywho. You can get so much information on the web. There's also all the other... traditional means of getting information. Not to mention, you can pay somebody $60-$75, and you'll get a stack of information on anybody you want. Now, for this name, I want to call 1-877-ID-THEFT, and I forgot who sponsors this number. But all you listeners, watch your stuff. Get a P.O. Box for your important mail. Get your credit reports every year. Watch yourself now. I'm going to call this number. I'll be right back, Rex.
We're not going to call Madam Cleo.
No, we are not going to call Madam Cleo. Do you want to call Madam Cleo?
Yes.
Oh, she's speechless. I think Madame Cleo is in jail, actually. Is that correct? Isn't she in the can? Because she wasn't real. She was, like, from Florida or something.
Yeah, she was born, like, in New Jersey or something.
Oh, Jersey, even better. Nothing good comes out of Jersey. All right.
I thought she was from Jamaica.
She's not from Jamaica. That accent was horrible. All right. That's as bad as the FCC Spanish accent on one of the earlier shows. Okay, hold on. I'll be right back, Rex.
No,
oh, crap. I got to spell it. ID. Let's see. ID. T. H-E-F-T. I think I spelled it. All right, Rex. Here we go. Oh, it's ringing. That's a long ring.
Thank you for calling the Federal Trade Commission's Identity Theft Hotline.
Para español, presione el número 9 ahora.
We are currently closed. We answer consumer calls on weekdays from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also visit us at www.ftc.gov to file a consumer complaint, report identity theft, or to obtain consumer tips online. To learn how the FTC uses the information you provide, please press 1. To order publications, including consumer brochures, press 2. When you contact us with complaints or requests for information, you may also contact us by writing Federal Trade Commission, Identity Theft Clearinghouse, 600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Washington.
Enough.
We answer consumer calls on weekdays from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern.
All right, well, that goes on. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to... maybe I won't. I was going to send one of their publications to somebody else's address, do a little ID theft of my own, right from the FTC's ID theft hotline.
Online. To learn how the FTC uses the information you provide, please press 1. To order publications, including consumer brochures, press 2. To order publications, when prompted, please provide your mailing address and titles of the publications you wish to order. Speak slowly and spell out any unusual titles or names.
Rex, you still there?
Yeah.
All right. You know what I was just going to do? I was going to just rip off somebody's identity. Well, you know what? First, I should go through AT&T and then call up this FTC number for ID theft and send all their publications to some random person. I think it's ironic and quite amusing, but I didn't do it.
Theft, that's identity spam.
That's identity... Rex! You, Unish, identity spam. You just created... a whole nother genre. A whole nother word. A whole nother world. Identity spam. That is great.
Something I'll look up for the show for next week. I've got, you know, speaking of security and, not security so much, but, you know, all identity theft and the things you need to be concerned with. There is a number you can call that's for the credit reporting agencies that basically says, do not give out my address to marketers. They, marketers pay the credit reporting agencies to get your name and address. You can call this 800 number, give your information, and that takes your name off the list for like 2 years. And there's another one somewhere that somebody sent me relating to something else like the Direct Marketing Association to get your name taken out. So we may not be able to fight electronic spam yet, but we're you know, got some avenues for fighting paper spam.
Yeah, that's very good, and everybody should do that, because not to mention it's just a total waste of resources. I don't look at that crap they send me in the mail. Now, everybody, in addition to that, go check out the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Read it. Learn it. There's a lot of contacts, of course, the FTC, Identity Theft Data Clearinghouse. That's who we just called, Office of Comptroller of Currency, Federal Reserve Board. Read this act. Learn about all these places. Learn how to protect yourself. Don't be paranoid, but definitely watch what you do. Oh, man, I'm sweating. That was a good show.
Yeah, you know, we got to tell people about the new theme song too. By the way,
the new theme song, everybody. It's gonna be what's the name?
Telephone Call.
Telephone Call by Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk rocks, man.
Old school techno, German techno, great stuff. It's gonna be the new theme song. I can't believe I never heard it before, but it's so good. You'll hear it. Maybe I'll play it as the outro. No, yeah, maybe I'll play it as the outro tonight, and then it'll be the theme song from here on out.
Cool.
Awesome. You like that?
Sounds good.
All right, man. Great show, Rax. Thanks again.
Good run.
All right.
Thank you, Rax.
Yeah.
Say bye.
Bye-bye.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
That was a new theme and to end the show.
I remember kids never knows best.
What
the hell does that mean?
She wrote it on her arm, dude. I don't know.
Oh, great. Anyway, keep knowledge free. Radio Freak America, the K is for knowledge. Keep knowledge free.
And be the media.